30 executive orders.
16 golf trips.
100 days of Trump.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Aloha. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast streaming live on digital stream radio. You can listen every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I am your host. And as always, I'm here with my crazy co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome to
The Dish.
I was waiting for the delayed reaction. Anyway, all right. So before we get started, we'd like to welcome to the show our surprise guest. Not too long ago, we had Summer Orlando on the show, and the cast, or most of the cast of Summer's production of the Rocky Horror Show, on the show with us. We had an amazing kiki with them all, but today's surprise guest made such a splash that we just had to have her back on the show. So welcome, Miss Giganta Smalls.
I am half the cast. A Rocky Horror.
All right, so before
and that's like a new
I
word,
am three beast. Queens tall.
Exactly.
I am three queens tall. She's
very tall.
She's a big low girl.
So, it's so funny because, you know, we were talking about, like, Nick wanted to ask a question when we did that episode about the elephant in the room, which was...
Me.
What we were wanting to talk about was the reason why Summer decided to do the show in spring rather than in Halloween. And so when he asked the question, let's talk about the elephant in the room, you chimed in and said, I'm right here.
Well,
I died.
I was referring to Giganta. I wanted to know
a little bit
more about Giganta.
I'm an endangered species.
We're going to kill you.
He wanted to hunt me for my ivory.
So anyway, that wittiness, that crazy wittiness that you have is just, we were like, all right, we need to have this bitch.
This is going to be fun.
We need to have this bitch on the show. So we're glad that you're here.
I have something to offer, Mom.
So, you know, we are streaming live. Is Mom listening, by the way?
No. Thank God. No, don't. Mom's not allowed.
We're having... amazing, a little bit of everything today. So, but before we get into our cocktail, your boyfriend's mom listens to the show.
Yes, right? Yes, Deb does.
Hi, hey, Deb.
Hi, Deb.
I just figured, you know, if someone's mother is just brave enough to just listen to the,
I'm sure there are a lot of mothers listening to the show.
And you know what? Yeah. And if you do, bravo. Bravo, because you know what? You're doing something amazing for...
You're a cool mom.
Yeah, for your child. It's always wonderful to be able to know how...
Not just your child, for you.
Yeah, and for you too. Anybody that listens to the show.
My mom's a cool mom, but Diane, no, you're not listening, Diane.
Your mother. Okay, so Christopher and I took a field trip this weekend, which we'll talk about later. But we posted a picture, Chris and I, in Bryant Park.
Yeah.
And we were having beers, and she's like, Christopher, you're so beautiful.
I'm like, thanks, Mom.
And I'm like, Christopher, is this your mom? He's like, yeah.
He's like, who's Diane? I'm like, that would be my mother.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Ma. Aww.
How we doing?
A mother's love for her child is, you know.
Especially the gay boys.
Yeah, it's uncomparable. I mean, we all know Chris. We know he's not beautiful. So his mom was just, you know, supporting him in a way.
I want to say that, oh, no, I can't use the C word and my mother in the same sentence. So yeah. I will not use that word.
Somebody's got to think you're pretty.
Yeah. Thanks, Mom. Love you.
Somebody's got to love him best.
Exactly.
So, all right. So we got to talk about our cocktail. Mm-hmm. And today's signature cocktail is as a result of some of the things that we need to bash and talk about on the show.
Which we'll get to that, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So, Christopher, would you like to announce what the cocktail is?
Well, before we even go into the cocktail, we should say that the reason we're doing it is because last week, we were all talking about the fact that we want to do an Alabama slammer, but we should wait until we have something to slam Alabama for.
They got like not even 28 hours left of the episode.
You need to wait to slam Alabama.
Literally a day it after.
It literally was.
I was
there was nothing happening in Alabama last week. So
there's nothing happening in Alabama at all.
Well, you're true.
There's like tornadoes and they hate gay and black people. Like,
yeah.
And especially gay black people.
That's true.
That's a twofer.
That's a twofer. That's hard. So anyway, so we didn't need to, we said we're going to wait until something happens, and literally not even 28 hours later.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom, right
it
there.
It blew up. So we're like, all right, next week's episode's cocktails definitely going to be the Alabama Slammer.
Alabama Slam her. That's exactly what it is.
Slam her. So I'm going to let Christopher talk about the delicious cocktail.
It is nice. You know, it's something that it's a little sweet for our taste. We usually do straight vodka on the rocks. You know, that's how we roll. clear liquors are for our alcoholic, or not, women on diets. That's what clear liquors are for. So forget that.
Today we're going brown.
Today we're going brown. The Alabama Slammer consists of Southern Comfort, Sloe Gin, Amaretto, orange juice. Shake that all up, strain over ice, and garnish with an orange wheel and a cherry. And you got an Alabama Slam her.
And suck it down. So this is actually a very versatile cocktail because you could either have it as a drink or you can make the shot version of it and have it as a shot.
Don't ask me to make an Alabama Slam her shot. For like,
yeah, I know.
No.
It's like when they come in and ask for a woo-woo, which we did last week.
A woo-woo.
A woo-woo.
What is that?
Okay, Giganta wants to know what a woo-woo is.
That sounds like the unicorn frap of shot.
A woo-woo, that's vodka, peach tree, and cran?
Yes. Yes,
it is the unicorn frap of shot.
Yeah, pretty much. And then, you know, you just shake it all up and throw it in a martini glass and go to town. So that was last week's cocktail, and it was actually pretty good. And we did beers and shots and everything else. Seriously, like, we are borderline alcoholics on the show.
We did eat today, though. We did barbecue for the first time this year.
We did
barbecue. It was very nice.
You did burgers and you
Trish
did sausage.
Trish had a big fat old sausage. Tommy ate two cheeseburgers and I ate a veggie burger.
Thank you for throwing that out there. I was going to be like, I only had one. No bread. No, this bitch said, no, you got two.
Extra bread.
Throw me under that bus. Wait, it's coming.
The struggle bus.
There it is.
Yay!
She hasn't been down this block in a long time.
Yeah. I'm dead now. So, all right. So why don't we get into our stories? So let's talk about what's going on with all this craziness in the national spotlight and some of the shit that's going on in California. So the Washington Post reported that Senator Ted Lieu. By way of California, Patty Murray, Democrat from the state of Washington, and Cory Booker from the great state of New Jersey. I don't know if it's great, but it's definitely long. Introduced a bill that would make it illegal nationwide to practice conversion therapy for gay children or gay people, period. The bill, dubbed the Therapeutic Fraud Prevention Act of 2017, would allow the Federal Trade Commission to classify conversion therapy and its practitioners as fraudulent, making it illegal in all 50 states. Currently, there are 70 senators that are in support of the measure. However, you know that one bill that's passed in the Senate also needs to sort of kind of have its own version in the House before they can agree that, yes, we should send it for the president's signature and make it law.
And the House is it 206 you have to get to pass in the House?
I'm not sure what the majority is. I know that in the Senate, it's 60 votes.
60 votes. So
because this is a bill.
Right. So we have an accomplishment, or we're looking at a victory in the Senate should that get there. But 206, I believe, is the number to get passed in the House. I'm not quoting that number, but I believe it's 206.
So I'm not sure if anyone can, let us know what the numbers are. We would be greatly appreciative. You could actually call us and let us know. 334-429-8255. The phone lines are open.
From the state of Alabama.
Yes, thank you. So
they don't have phones in Alabama.
Well, they
we
have
got the
something.
Only phone number.
Maybe they can walk to the payphone, put in a quarter, and dial.
Oh, I hope so.
So here's a quote from Senator Lieu.
It's 218, by the way.
218. That's why I said don't quote me.
Awesome. Thank you, Trish.
You're welcome.
Our Google-ish girl.
That's why it was a delay. She didn't know that offhand.
So here's the...
But thanks for your service, Trish.
Here we go.
All of you today.
I love you. We love you. We love you. So the bill is very simple, Lieu said to the Washington Post. It says it is fraud if you treat someone for a condition that doesn't exist and there is no medical condition known as being gay. LGBTQ people were born perfect. There's nothing wrong and there's nothing to treat them for. And by calling it what it is or what it should be, which is fraud, it would effectively shut down most of the organizations that are trying to do it. So I read this in the morning and I was like, all right, well, this is something really good that we should discuss. And in the afternoon, I get a headline that the state of California, there was someone, the state of California passed a law back in 2014 outlawing conversion therapy in the state. So someone appealed that decision, and that decision went up to the Supreme Court today, and the Supreme Court rejected the appeal. So in other words, that means that the law that they passed in California stands as is. Mm-hmm. It is illegal in the state of California. So I'm super excited to hear that right. because this is horrible.
And it's great that it's going to, like they're saying, it's a fraudulent act. So not only, of course, it's morally wrong. Like everything about it is morally wrong. But to bring it to the legal standpoint, that this has been proven that there's no medical condition for being gay. You're born perfect that way. And medical doctors and scientists say that there's nothing that this can't be done. So it's fraud to be charging people this kind of money for something
like
that.
Well, not only that, it's fraud too to take a child who is very impressionable and put him in a room and say, what you are is wrong.
Well, that's the inhumane thing. The fraud is the monetary side.
You know, that leads to suicide, that leads to, you know, problems, emotional problems, social problems. I mean, this is some serious stuff that these kids go through. And I'm really happy to see that states like California are taking the initiative to outlaw this stuff.
And we want to praise those 70 senators, you know, that are in support of this bill being passed, and hopefully more will jump on board.
And obviously some of them are Republicans, so thank you for doing the right thing, or at least seeming to appear that you want to do the
for
right thing.
For human rights.
Exactly. So Tresh, do you have anything to contribute to this? You're just like laid back today. You're like, he's like chilling in the chair.
I literally am. I'm like so checked out.
Well, it's great with these booms. You could literally pull it right to you.
I know. Like, you could totally pull it back. Right, so I'm like just leaning back in the chair.
Exactly.
No, I just had a really long week and I'm like, my brain's not working.
It's Monday.
My week ended yesterday. So
we're going to take a pause
on
the
dish. Well, that makes sense.
Why don't you tell us about your week? Specifically about the futon in your office.
No, I mean, I'm in tech for a show. So it's been 14 days in a row that I hadn't had a day off. Yesterday I went to work and I literally sat down and I was like, I'm just going to close my eyes for 5 minutes. An hour passes and I fell asleep on a futon at work, but it's not that big of a deal. My boss took a photo of me, sent it around to everybody like a good boss would. And
I'm proud of him.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Well, if you had a futon, you know, in your work, how could you not after all that work? I mean, for Trish, ass was up in the air, of course, but pretty comfy.
Yeah, no, it was totally fine.
It was almost like watching Trish do the plank.
I literally looked like a dead person in
like
that photo.
Like an A-frame, ass up in the air, yeah.
No, I mean, like, but if we're talking about conversion therapy, I've already talked about this. I think it's absolute bullshit. I mean, let's be honest, nothing can convert me. Nothing can convert anybody at this table right now. But
it also just doesn't have a high success rate.
Like, it doesn't
There's no success rate to it.
And
no,
Connecticut even went through their struggles with trying to pass this new legislation. And some of our legislators were saying, you know, how can we support a bill that doesn't exist here? But no, clearly, if this is hitting at a federal level, this is very real in the United States of America. Our vice president openly supports this. Trish, take it away.
I mean, I don't know what you want me to say here. I mean, I will sit here and bash them. I'll sit there and tell them. It's all it does is make people hate themselves. And if that's an environment we want to create, that's a statement that our government is saying. It's our community has hated ourselves for who we are for so long. I can't even imagine why we would want to put the youth in this country through that. I mean, we've finally gotten to a place where we can openly be comfortable and out. And now we want to take that away and make people feel bad about themselves again? I just think it's absolute bullshit. And the fact that we're even having this conversation pisses me off.
Well, that's perfect, actually, because it brings me back. Today we're recording episode 61. So it brings me back to...
I thought he was going to say 69. I was like, I want to.
No, not yet. So it brings me back to last week's episode 60.
I think we should talk about blowjobs for 69. Just saying. Go ahead.
Okay, so we're going to stay with the conversion therapy kind of thing right now. No, stay on task. We're going to get you a sign. Stay on task, Tommy. Smack.
Okay.
Okay, so I wanted to bring up a comment that Nick actually had. We talked about last week these anti-LGBT activists like wishing that they had a gay son to maybe open their eyes. But at the same time, I feel like I would want to contradict that because I feel like that would just be having a child born into a living hell. Like that's a child being born into the opportunity of being pushed through a conversion therapy.
Right. But I also think, like, for example, my family was not supportive of me when I came out of the closet. Mm-hmm. It was the polar opposite. I moved out of my house. I did not live with my family for almost 4 months. And they forced me into a therapy. and the therapist said there's nothing wrong with your son, and there was a long process for it. But at this point now, in my life, my parents are beyond supportive. My mm-hmm. family is beyond supportive, and it's opened my entire family's eyes, because I'm the first gay person in my entire family. So now my entire family, who loves me dearly, supports my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And that being said, has now opened their eyes to a completely new world that they never would have understood otherwise.
Right, right.
So I think that those people, if me, you know, forcing gay children on these anti-LGBT people is more, I want to open their eyes. I want them to realize that we're all just normal people. The only difference is I love a man instead of a woman.
Right.
And that doesn't affect you in any way besides the fact that you're getting another son instead of another daughter mm-hmm. into your family.
Right, but that was something that resonated with me after the last episode, because I understand it does have the possibility of being an eye-opener for the parents, but at the same time, I wouldn't wish that a child be born into that.
If they're asking, like, they wish they had a gay child to open their eyes, then they're probably more tolerant.
Oh, they're not asking that. No, that's what Trish was asking about. That's what we were talking about, like, wishing... Okay. That these monsters that are out to try to tear human rights away from people are given a child who is gay.
Okay.
But at that point, it's like almost, I don't want to use the word burden with a bare child, but I feel like it would be so much worse for the child than the chance of an eye-opener for the adult that's lived and fought crusades to take rights away from humans.
You know what? You're right. It would be worse for the child. However, I think it makes the child a stronger individual. No matter who you are, no matter what you say, being gay in today's world, yesterday's world, 10 years ago, it's a harder lifestyle. You have to make the choice to know that you're walking into something that's a constant uphill struggle. Mm-hmm. And so being an LGBT member makes you a stronger person just by embracing who you already mm-hmm. are.
Yeah, you're thrusted into that.
Because whether it's your family or society, you're going to get it from somewhere. Mm. So,
go, girl.
Well, I know I'm super young and like haven't really had a lot of experience with adversity because I'm also huge and will kick someone's ass.
Let it be known.
But I think that Bob the Drag Queen made a really great statement of not being afraid as a form of activism. So,
totally.
I don't know. I've always been gay the whole time, so it was no surprise.
So can I ask you, what were your experiences like in school? Because, I mean, my school experience was...
I wasn't the only openly gay person. I was the only openly gay man in my high school, and it didn't matter because I was also a weirdo, so like no one was really surprised or shocked or anything. And I really didn't do anything that was like too outwardly gay. I brought like girls to prom. I went in a tux to proms, so, like, nothing crazy.
You didn't sport a gown?
No. A prom dress in my size would be really expensive.
I can't.
And I'm from a really small town, so... But no, I think that people... So especially because we're from Connecticut, like, there are assholes... Here. I don't know if are all of you from Connecticut natively?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Born and raised. Well, at least I was.
Okay. Are you okay?
She farted.
Yeah, I'm
it
good.
It better not stink.
That's all right. Trisha List, that stinks.
I don't know. I don't have an emotional backstory. So.
No, that's okay. If you have a funny one, we'll take that one too.
Oh no, I just I'm from like Redneck Central in like northwestern Connecticut. So
where?
I'm from Colebrook, Connecticut.
Shout out to Colebrook.
There's no one. No one I think the only other gay people in Colebrook are like registered sex offenders.
Next.
So I think that we're also from a place that we're really lucky to not have like a super hard like resistance. At least I have experience. I'm 25. So, like, I'm right in the age where there's a lot of, like, changing happening.
Well, I mean, I think that you came at a really good time.
I always
For the LGBT
Serious
community.
Girls.
For
Serious.
The youth, because when I was growing up, things were very different.
Yeah.
And I hate that I see so much suicide going on nowadays, because I think that the parents that are growing up now don't know how to cope with a child going through but self-awareness I think so. And I identifying.
Think also a lot of people who are my age that are parents are definitely more open to different things. Like, there's like 5,000 mothers with blogs about, I let my son wear a dress to preschool. And I'm like, that's great, Karen.
Well, no, that's great. No. But when you think about mothers that are in their 50s now.
Oh, yeah.
But mothers that grew up in mm-hmm. the 80s.
Right.
They tend to be tolerant, but they still have that right. middle stigma. Like, you know, they're liberal, but, you know, they were still mm-hmm. raised conservative. So they yeah. sort of kind of carry all those.
They're okay with black people, but they're not okay with the gays. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's weird because it's weird to see, like, for example, my mother. She's very accepting of her son, obviously. Mm-hmm. She loves me dearly. But sometimes I catch her saying some things, like, in Spanish, you know, like, she'll use the word maricón or mm-hmm. pato, which is an equivalent of, you know, faggot. Awesome. In a sense. And I look at her and I'm like, all right, I dismiss it and I ignore it.
Right.
At this point, I don't correct her because I know she doesn't mean anything wrong by it. Shame on me for not doing it. But it's also my mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You try correcting
oh,
that
yeah.
woman.
My mother is the same way.
There's a 2x4 hidden Spanish, somewhere. So, you know, and that's just the thing. So mothers nowadays that are growing up now, if you're like a 22-year-old mother today, they're completely different from a 40 or 50-year-old
oh, yeah.
mother that is raising children that, you know, grew up in the early 90s or in 2000.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. The other day I was on the phone with my mother and she was talking to me about wanting to meet Ian and having my friend come down to visit. And I was like, Mom, can you say this with me? Boyfriend. It's my boyfriend. And she's like, so, sorry, fine. Your boyfriend. I can't wait to meet your boyfriend.
Your special friend.
And, you know, it's a lot of people don't realize that the generational gap is real.
Oh, yeah,
and
obviously. How,
it's super real. But yeah. I don't think it's also as harsh as people think. My grandmother is really, like, kind of, she surprised me with, like, her, she uses, like, some unfortunate terms for people of color, but she's also 70. So I'm like, Grandma. But she also says things that are not, like, she, you know, she's more accepting of people. So I think it's, like, there's a strong generational gap, especially, like, my parents are, like, conservative Trump supporters.
Yuck.
How do you feel about that?
It's a rough
life. We know how Trish feels.
The hard times in the neighborhood.
Oh, well, I can imagine. You
These
know,
are troubling times in the queendom.
Yeah. See, I don't think that I'm pretty positive neither of my parents actually voted. I'm pretty positive about that.
I cannot confirm or deny if my mother voted. My father has a Trump bumper sticker.
So he definitely voted.
You know, my ass would rip that right off.
So, like, my...
oh, I ripped the Trump... Well, no, the Trump Christmas ornament had an unfortunate accident.
Oh, yeah. No. The cat knocked it off the tree.
Yeah. Bye, Felicia.
See, with my growing up, like, my parents... Where, you know, when gay marriage was being discussed about on the news, like passing the state of Connecticut, I always heard my mom like, why are people giving people such a hard time? If they love each other, let them get married. But when it turned out that I was gay, she was a little reserved about it. But I remember the phone conversation we had when I was with my ex, and she said, is blah, blah, your boyfriend? And that, like, that made me think about it. Not like, is blah, blah, your friend? Like, no, she actually put it out there. Okay, my son is gay, so this is his partner. Is that your boyfriend? Just with you saying your mother was introducing friend, like, now that I look in retrospect, that kind of seemed a little more accepting.
But now when you ask yourself, how old is your mom?
My mother, so my father just turned, so she's 58.
And your mom?
I was like, fuck, is he going to ask how old my mom is? 52.
Okay. So, I mean, relatively around the same age, so I don't understand. Well, maybe your parents are just, they live in the South.
I didn't come from a conservative family.
Yeah, my mom was raised in the South, but I don't necessarily know if that really affected her in any way. I mean, the times when my parents grew up, whether you were a hippie or not, that the gay thing had just started to come out. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, and it was weird and it was awkward and people didn't support it. And so when my parents had to face that head on, because I was gay, their son was gay, the part of their life that obviously they didn't want to, like, lose or get rid of, it was challenging and it was different. And it took me a long time to come to terms with what I went through with my parents. And then all of a sudden it was like, I realized that, you know, they were just dealing with the same exact shit that I was dealing with. I was angry at them because I was gay, and they were angry at them. They were angry that they had a gay son, and they couldn't comprehend what that meant.
Right, and I understand that, because if you look at those, you know, my parents and your parents, like we said, they're pretty close in age. You know, they were born after, like, the civil rights movement's really had its foot in the door. It's already been out there. The end of Vietnam, the beginning of the AIDS crisis, the beginning of the Stonewall riots. So they saw all this oppression and so much turmoil that people had to fight for. Mm-hmm. And if you want to look at it,
they saw all these people die from AIDS.
Right. And maybe the reason our parents were so, like, standoffish at first was maybe they were so afraid that their babies, their children, like, I'm the baby of the family. I'm the young one. Maybe my parents were so afraid that my baby is now going to be put in danger. Like, maybe that's something parents were worried
about.
There's
definitely still a strong association with gay and HIV or AIDS. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
From our parents' generation.
And people our age now, and older, you know, older people working with AIDS Project New Haven, they're really trying to fight that stigma that you're gay, that doesn't mean you're going to get AIDS. So, but I understand that generation puts those two together sometimes.
But to go back to a little bit back when you had said something, you said something about suicide, how it makes you upset to see so many suicides still happening in the LGBT youth.
Yes, because, and I will explain, the issue that I have is that nowadays, coming out is not as big of a deal as it was 25 years ago.
Right.
And so we have much more at our disposal. We have much more support groups. Schools have a lot of resources, a lot of groups that meet, etc. And I find it hard to believe that the suicide rate is so high among our youth now.
Well, I think it also has to do with you have to take into account bullying. I mean, kids are vicious. Mm-hmm. A lot, you know, these kids might have 100% support from their families. I mean, I know that my boyfriend who passed away, his family was 100% behind him in every aspect. They loved me. They loved him being gay. They were just, like, completely supportive. I mean, there are always other elements. And I think that bullying has a lot to do with it.
But bullying has been around forever. Bullying has been around since...
And it will be around forever.
Right. Here's what I suspect is happening. There is a break in communication. There is a break in the way we communicate humanly nowadays. Everything is electronic. There's no sense of really understanding what human communication is. And I think that we have the resources. We should be better off than we were 25 years ago. But because there's no communication among humans now... That has been Facebook and Instagram and things of that nature. A lot of people are communicating in different ways, ineffective ways. People who are feeling isolated or bullied don't feel that they have no resources to go to because they don't know how to interact one-on-one. Speaking.
They don't know how to emote. Like with somebody else, yeah.
Because of the lack of human interaction and how people used to communicate and sit down and get on that couch and cry like bitches and say, I'm sorry I did this, mommy, and whatever it was. And unfortunately, we don't have that often anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. They're pretty much at this point think that all they have is social media, and then they go to social media.
And also, there are people like... I am very open of how sad I am all the time on my Facebook page. So if you want a good, sad time, friend me on
Girl,
Facebook.
I noticed.
But there are so many people who are ashamed to be openly sad on social media. And I'm like, who cares? Like, if I'm having a bad day, even if it's because I, like, burnt my piece of pizza, like, I'm going to tell everybody. Or if I'm having, like, a depressive episode, everyone's going to know. Because, like, I can't afford a therapist, so everyone else has to listen to me.
Exactly.
So.
Free of charge.
It's free of charge.
Yeah. Which is why I really feel like, I highly recommend the Netflix original 13 Reasons Why, because it's really an eye opener. It really is an eye opener, and it's important to. If I was a teacher, like I want to be, if I want to be a high school teacher, I would show that.
Yeah, I see. Here, I love the show. Don't get me wrong, I love the show, but I don't necessarily think it's a good show to promote, especially for the youth, because I feel like it gives permission for these kids to cop out and commit suicide.
Nope. You didn't finish it. I'm just saying.
Whether I finish it or not.
I wasn't going to give my opinion on this show until I finished it. And now that I got to the end, it covers everything that is plaguing the public school system of the United States. And it's teaching people that, you know, you can't sit back and you have to reflect on yourselves. And that's what I find was most important about it, was the fact that it broke down all the different aspects that unfortunately brought someone to make that decision. And I really recommend it. Okay. Beginning to end.
Guys, there's a call on the phone, but it came in on Thursday. And I'm like, I don't even remember missing a call, but it's from Alabama.
It's probably a telemarketer.
Oh, I get them all the time.
We should call him back and be like, hello, who's this?
No, hell fucking no.
No, so anyway, just the point I was trying to make is that, you know, our way of communicating, bullying has been around forever. Suicide has been around forever. The rate has increased. What changed? And I think that the dynamic is the
everything
way we communicate.
Really shitty.
Yeah.
Really
including
shitty.
Including our president, including...
So shitty.
Yeah, right? I love
and
that.
And like, I think that gay people... I mean, I'm just a gay white man, so like, I only have that scope to look at things for. Like, it's so terrible in the world, and on top of that, there's some people who hate me for no real strong reason. So like, obviously, pressure is more on, and then you have people who do bully you because of who you are as a person, and there has always been like, you know, people who've been bullied for being weird and different. And now it's weird and different and gay. And also there is, like, we live in a world that's so much more exposed, everything now too.
Mm-hmm.
So we know, like, I remember it was a couple of years ago that kid got filmed having sex with some guy by his roommate.
Mm-hmm.
And he committed
suicide. People like 20, 30 years ago would never have known about that. That would have been a local story.
Right.
And not national news.
Well, because everything now is just, you know, instantaneous.
Yeah, you upload it.
Oh, yeah.
It's done, you know?
Or those people, like, now we have to deal with things like Facebook Live and people getting, like, killed on Facebook Live.
Or committing suicide on Facebook Live.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So, and it's so instant gratification and acceptance. Like, I am so guilty of wanting to be liked on the internet. I check how many likes everything I have got. And, like... So that kind of attention and that kind of social platform is easy. And especially because text is a really hard medium to get across what you're trying to say. I know that I have said some things to people on the internet and people take it very offensively. I'm like, I didn't mean it that way. And it's
well,
the same
I mean,
thing.
You can't communicate what your
emotion. You can't
emote
through text messages. Through text messages. Right. So... I don't know.
Like, I'm
call
very
each
dry.
Other. God
when,
damn it.
Exactly. I'm very dry when I respond to people in emails at work. So a lot of people will take offense to the fact that I don't color my emails up. Oh, good morning. And I'm like, hello, this is due. Where is it? Please have it by 3.
Yeah.
I don't need to, hi, how are you? I hope your weekend went well.
But that's so passive aggressive.
Exactly.
I'm missing this. You know,
but
when
that's
do you
also
think
your
you
work.
Can... No.
I don't know what you do for work, so I don't know if you should be like, hi, how are you? But
no. Like, I work
I'm
with
always,
math all day long.
I'm
miserable.
Always like, hi, how are you? And I work in retail, so I'm just a really great actress. but
restaurants
world,
and bars, the same thing.
The world is so shitty. So I think, unfortunately, it's resulted in like, the most extreme level of get me out of here. And some people just don't have, like, you know, your health insurance is such a big debated topic now. And, like, which is so, like, why are we debating? Everyone should just have health insurance. Why are we debating it?
I think it should be a human right to have it, period.
Yeah. Like,
so do most other civilized nations on this earth.
Going to turn 26, therefore losing my parents' health insurance. And I work part time in retail, so I can't afford health insurance. So even that sort of thing, like if you are a person who is clinically depressed, who is suicidal, who takes medication, and you're going to lose your health insurance, means you'll lose your medications, then like that's another shitty thing. And this is another shitty thing. And so many shitty things are happening. Plus you're bullied at school. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. It's hard. You know, and what kills me is that we have a lot of resources too. I mean, you've got a lot of people now that are open about, you know, what they write, who they write. And, you know, we've got authors that are writing LGBT material. Actually, we have a really cool story of our little trip to New York to meet our amazing friend Hans Hershey, who was in New York City for his book fair, Rainbow Book Fair.
Yes. Hershey, yeah.
What a great name.
Yeah. It is a very good name.
Very good name. It's Hershey. It's said like the chocolate, but it's spelled differently.
That's like she's a fierce queen, Hans Hershey.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun.
We took a trip down to New York City. We knew that he was coming from Sweden to do the book fair, and he was like, hey, I'm going to be in New York. You guys should come down. I wanted Trish to come down, but unfortunately she had tech, so she couldn't go. But Chris and I went. And we ended up going into the city, and Chris and I stopped at Bryant Park. We had a beer. We enjoyed the
fresh
breeze.
And mind you, I'm working all day, all weekend. I'm booking people on our show. I'm working at the theater.
I know, Trish is saying that.
And these motherfuckers send me a picture of them sitting outside Bryant Park. It's beautiful out. They have beers in front of them. And then they're like, a couple minutes later, send me a video. Oh, well, we wished you were here, but this is what we're doing.
And the second we hung up, I looked at Tom. I'm like, well, we got to leave someone on administrative duty.
He sure did.
Well, it's so funny because at the end, they were really sweet in the video. But at the first couple of seconds of the video, I was like, these bitches. So that's what I said. And then I watched it in its entirety, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. I love you. That was sweet.
This is actually what we said.
Okay, baby girl. So I know that you couldn't make it to New York with us, and I know that you're working, but I want you to know that we love you. And say hello, Chris.
Hi, Trish. This is for Trish, right?
Yes, it is.
Love you. You're on administrative duty tonight. And so just wanted to give you a quick view of Bryant Park, and we're here having some blue moons. He drank his really quickly.
I did. Before we head out to go see Hans. But anyway, I wanted to shoot you a quick video and let you know that we're going to have a good time, and we miss you. And don't be sad. We're going to do this again. Mwah. Mwah.
See, it wasn't that bad. It was loving. She's just exaggerated. She was just pissed she couldn't come.
I feel like Hans Hershey is like the villain in the gritty Candyland reboot movie.
No, so, you know.
That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah. Hans, take note.
If anyone wants to talk to me about it, I will totally do a deal.
Write the book. Write the book, Hans. Write the book.
I will do it. I'll write the script.
Go ahead, Tom.
No, you know, he writes amazing stories. He had the book Shorts. Short stories from Beneath the Rainbow, where he wrote a whole bunch of like really cool short stories of for the LGBT, you know, community. And then he has his new book, which is called Last Winter's Snow, right? Storm.
I think
it's on my website.
You're the one reading it. I want to read it. I
always screw this up. I'm like, really, Tommy, get with the program. God damn it. Anyway,
I know, for a year.
I will say, Hans.
But it is me. It's what I do anyway. It's called Last Winter Snow, and it's a novel by Hans M. Hershey. And I have been reading it, and I actually got halfway through it, and shit happens, and you have to run all over New York City with the author
and
of
his
the
friend,
book,
Andrew.
Andrew, and yeah. We ended up going to dinner to this amazing restaurant, and I believe it was called Meseria di Vini.
Everything. Sounds Hispanic.
I know.
I'm Hispanic.
It's an Italian,
damn it. I will say, though.
How do you say it in Italian?
Languages. I will say.
I don't know. I would have to look at it. I don't know.
I'm an ignorant white person.
They sound similar, but I will say, when the waiter came over, Hans had said something in Italian. I looked over. I'm like, oh, Hans, do you speak Italian as well? He's like, yeah, but he doesn't. To the waiter.
So, yeah, but we ordered dinner and we had wine.
I want to give a shout out to Hans because I know you're listening. Hans, can you please email me what wine you ordered? Because that was probably one of the best bottles of wine I've ever had in my life.
It was delicious.
It really
was
so good.
You know,
very good.
Did he left at 4 o'clock this afternoon, didn't he?
Oh, so she in the air right now.
Yeah,
oh, she's wicked in the air right now. It's only 3 hours. She ain't nowhere close.
We should have told her to call in today and give a, you know.
From 35,000.
From New York, if she had time. But unfortunately, yeah, she's already in the air. But we had such a good time. And then we went out. And so we were on 9th Avenue. We were walking back from the restaurant. But before we went to the restaurant, Chris and I found this little pub. It's a sports bar, straight bar, that had two seats, a nice little table on the window, facing the street where you could just people watch. So we were like, you know what? We should go in here and pregame before we go to dinner and then meet the guys. So we had dinner, Andrew, Hans, all of us were amazing dinner, had a good time. And we were like, well, let's go back to that bar and see if that table's available. And it was. And we sat there.
We took it
and
over.
We just shot the shit and talked about everything and talked about all his you know, his affair and how everything went, how he met Andrew, you know, where we stand with everything as far as, like, you know, the show, and he wants to come back on. And we were talking about his adventures and all his traveling, and he was recently in Florida, and his love for massages and all that good stuff. And we had such a great time. It was so much fun. I would really, really, truly do it again. I would. What?
No, it was a lot of fun. And probably two things that Hans really cracked me up with. We left the sports bar and we went to the restaurant, and I'm looking at the drink menu, and the waiter comes by and he's like, a cocktail? And Hans is like, no, we've just had one. I was like, oh, okay. So I put the drink menu down.
I guess we're not drinking.
And then the next best one, well, like I said, he did order a good bottle of wine. He did. But Tom's probably not going to like this, but I took the quote down. When Tom was coming to sit down, when we were back at the sports bar, he bumped into Hans, and Hans had this big old face. I'm like, Hans, what's wrong? And he just said, I got Tom Zilla's boob on my shoulder.
So he calls me Tom Zilla now. That's my new name. Yeah. So.
I just had to put that out there.
No, and it was a great trip to New York City. We'll definitely do it again if he's back in the area. This time, Trish will come with us.
Or next time in Sweden.
Or we'll go to Sweden, or we'll go to Germany, or we'll go wherever. So.
Come to Sverige.
Why not? Jawohl.
Jawohl.
All right. So listen, I think we should go into our first break. And
please, thank God.
Do angels and assholes and all that good stuff. Are you ready for angels and assholes? You want some sugar, baby?
Yeah, sure. I won't interrupt you this time.
Let's give her some sugar.
All right. So the following senators have been chosen to be our honorary assholes. Mm-hmm. Mike Lee and Ben Sasse. Why, you ask?
Why?
Why?
These senators signed a letter asking the White House to sign an executive order defending religious freedom that would allow for discrimination against LGBTQ individuals. For their inactions, we label them assholes.
All right. And this episode is dedicated to Jonathan Antonio Camuy Vega, 24 years old. Jonathan moved from Puerto Rico to Florida to work on a popular children's show produced by NBC Universal. He was a member of the National Association of Hispanic Journalists, was a producer for Telemundo's La Voz Kids, a show similar in concept to NBC's The Voice. Sadly, he lost his life when a gunman killed him and 48 others on June 12, 2016 at Club Pulse in Orlando, Florida. We would like to dedicate this episode to him. Again, his name is Jonathan Antonio Camuy Vega. May he rest in peace. This is Pulse by Melissa Etheridge. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. Once again, I hang my head to cry. I can't find the reason why they died. We will find the answer. Blowing in the wind, that everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. You're gonna hate now, when there's no one left but you. Who are you gonna gun down, if you can't kill the truth? That it's inside of us, it's inside our blood, it's inside of us. I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win.
underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse.
So you say this is human. Heartbeat versus mine. I'm in chains cause I'm choosing. Showing love for living life. I shouldn't have to leave where I stand. I shouldn't have to change who I am to count as a human. Feel my pulse. With your hand on my heart, you know it beats just as hard as yours. Feel my pulse. Oh, feel my pulse. Can't you see that I'm scarred? I'm just the same as you are. So just feel my pulse. Oh, I wish I could reach them. Strip away what separates. It's the same air we're breathing. Same tears run down our face. So I don't have to leave where I stand. And I don't have to change who I am to count as a human. Feel my pulse. With your hand on my heart, you know it beats just as hard as yours. Feel my pulse. Can't you see that I'm scarred? I'm just the same as you are. So just feel my pulse.
Yeah. Show me how you like it done. Gone to work, so roll the sleeves up. You can leave it all undone. I know you like it. There ain't no time to fight it. I wanna make you scream. I wonder, do you make that sound from the love we found? I wanna turn you upside down till we hit the ground. I wanna hear you scream my name. You won't be the same. I wanna make you feel it now. Cause we're getting out loud.
Right, and welcome back to the show. That was Pulse by Melissa Etheridge. That was Feel My Pulse by Eli Lieb and Brandon Ski. And that last song that you heard was Loud. And that belongs to our next week's guest, Davis Mallory, who we are going to have on the show next week. And if you don't know who he is, he's one of the members, I believe, of The Real World on MTV. And he was also on The Challenge, and he did a couple of other things. He's musically inclined, very musical. I like his voice. I like his work.
I think he was the first out man on Real World.
I don't think so. I think the first season they had a guy who was HIV positive.
That was the first one.
That was like the first.
Yeah.
They're still making that
I think
show?
He was the roommate.
It was my favorite show.
He was the gay roommate.
For the longest time. I was obsessed with. I auditioned for Real World, and they were like, "We're not interested." And I was like, "Because I'm not a muscle gay, I get it."
When did this start? In like 1999.
It started in like 1992.
I think.
Oh my god, yeah. That old!
It was a little after Madonna released her. She was done with her Blonde Ambition tour, and we couldn't get enough of her dancers. So of course, they started the Real World. Yeah, it's been around forever. That was like the epitome of the original, like. Reality TV.
If you said that's been around forever since 1992,
I did a project in college about reality television. The Real World was the first docu-series, but Survivor really pushed reality TV into the mainstream.
Yeah, Survivor.
I hate Survivor. Survivor is like Real World, but like not as fun.
Well, who was the first winner? Richard Hatch, was it?
I've never seen the show.
Who was the guy who pretended his mom died on Survivor? That guy was fucked up. Or the latest season of Survivor where some gay guy added another person as trans. That was fucked up, too.
Oh, yeah. That was last year. That was last season, wasn't it?
No, it was this season, like two or three weeks ago.
It was like a big deal. And I was like, I don't know. But Peppermint just told everyone she was trans on Drag Race.
Oh, my God.
That was amazing. They do an equivalent of Survivor in Germany.
And it's so fucking stupid. It's called The Jungle. And I was watching it with my friend Toby. Hello, Toby. And they literally have like a windmill that these two people like are strapped in, and it's just filled with thousands of bugs. And you just have to like spin in it and try to catch these like pieces of paper, and you're in there for like 8 minutes.
That sounds terrible.
It's so disgusting and stupid.
Did you watch I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here? That was great.
Is that like on Investigation Discovery or something?
I don't know,
like
but it had like Heidi Montag and Janice Dickinson, so Janice was over everything the whole time. It was great.
You should have just left her in there.
Oh no, I want Janice Dickinson all the time.
She's great though. I love her because she just doesn't give a fuck.
She does not care about anything.
Anything or anyone. And she'll just really
go. That was like the start of the end of Top Model when Janice left.
Yeah. So just like
womp womp.
No, but seriously, so, you know, we're back from our break. These guys have their cigarettes. We've got fresh cocktails. We're now switching over to beer, evidently, because I ended up getting a beer. And thanks, Chris.
No, she better don't. I offered.
He's a gimp today. Leave him alone.
I know.
My knee hurts.
I don't know what to tell him. Other than...
wait, what? Hold on. Time out. You fell on your heels?
I fall all the time. I'm really tall and I'm also really fat. So I like, I wobble and then I was like, I'm doing Sky Casper's best friend race, aka tuck and strut drag battle.
Which, by the way, you won first place for the comedy segment of that.
I was the comedy... I'm the like... Not the only comedy queen, but I'm obviously the best.
So, congratulations, first and foremost.
Thank you so much. I won a whole $150.
Oh,
wow. Well, it's better than nothing.
And everyone else is like, wow. My mom was like, that's it.
It looked like you were going to say, I won a whole $40.
Well, second place only gets $50, so I was like, close. I'm sorry, girl. I'll look at you like nicely. Well, I accept why I put the $150 into my boob. Yeah.
So you won the competition.
I did.
So this gets you into the
Yes, we're going to do a final round in December, Casamia at the Hawthorne in Berlin, Connecticut. I don't know what we're doing yet for that. I don't know. He tells us what we're doing like for that month. Like that month. So, I don't know.
So tuck and strut.
It's like Drag Race, but without the drama and like the shady rattlesnake noises.
So this is a competition that's been going on for quite a bit. Started
in January.
So they did the comedy section yesterday.
Yes.
And then they had another talent.
I don't know what he did for his talent show, but we've done three competitions. We started with Queens of Pop, which I did Beyonce, but I did it in like a muumuu and like my horrible makeup skills. Like, I thought it was really funny that I did Beyonce, but no one else thought it was funny.
We're not allowed to talk about Beyonce on the show.
Oh my God, shut up, Christopher.
Sorry. And then we did...
Only When We Were Young.
Broadway, Queens. And I should have gotten second place. I did Send in the Clowns as a clown.
Oh, I love that song.
I know. And I was like, look, listen, I'm like crying. My water-based makeup is running. And they're like, girl, you did so good. But that other queen brought her entire family and they voted for her to win. So I'm sorry. And I was like,
victory in numbers, apparently. You gotta bring your girls.
But I brought it. I brought it for comedy.
Okay, awesome. So I'm happy that you won, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And so let's talk about your craziness at the Rocky Horror Show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I fucking loved you. So we went to the premiere, and Chris and I, again, because Trish couldn't go.
You were there?
She had to work.
I thought you were there.
No, she wasn't.
All I remember is that I elbowed Chris in the face, and I felt really bad.
Happened.
All I remember is that he got...
It probably, like... went down your body and hurt your foot.
That's probably why I got my knee wrapped up right now.
Probably. I'm sorry.
Well, he won that fleshlight.
I'm a great nurse, so I'll help you.
Excellent.
Speaking of fleshlight, have you used it yet?
I want to know. I got brought down so early to like help with the sex toy gift. We were sponsored by some sex toy company. I don't know what it's called. I'm a great cast member.
I do. I feel I better go get it now. Otherwise, because, you know.
And then I never helped with the sex toy giveaways. So I saw you get awarded your fleshlight. I was so proud.
Yeah, it's called Naughty Cocktails Parties.
Okay.
That's the company.
So have you used the fleshlight? Yes.
You'll have to.
Inquiring minds.
You'll have to tune into Gay Talk 2.0 episode 60 to find out if I used the fleshlight.
69.
60.
Did you say something about it last week?
We talked about it last week.
That you? Oh, you didn't really like it.
We just talked about it last week, yeah.
Welcome back to Earth, Trish.
Ooh.
You know what?
I decided that I'm going to call it.
I'm just going to start breaking all my 20s into fives when I get here.
You know what? You bitches.
We love you. Are you kidding me? I love you.
I think I'm going to resign from this episode.
No. Stick around. We've got more to come.
You've got a really great show.
More to come, and your face is needed.
Oh. Just give us something then.
No, so listen.
We were talking about me, but let's
start. let's go back to Giganta. So we were talking about
the elephant in the room. Yeah.
The elephant in the room. Absolutely. So you were doing your narration because you were narrating a lot of what was going on.
I was the narrator.
Yes, queen. Yeah. And something happened, and I can't remember what it was. Something with the microphone, and you you said something improv that just everybody just fell to the floor, started laughing. And then you started yelling. You're like, fuck the mic. And you're like, and then of course someone came. Matthew came and turned the mic on for you and gave it back to you. And you're like, oh, it works. And you were like, let's go.
I hated that microphone. I sat right next to the speaker. So my microphone was always like, and I was like, what is happening?
Why would they sit you next to a speaker with a microphone? A dynamic microphone.
I don't know.
Feedback.
There was a point in time where I thought I was just going to be backstage, like doing the music, because we didn't have anyone doing the music until like 2 days before the show.
Way to go, Summer.
Yeah. I'm giving her mild applause.
So you're sitting there, yes. And
you were there Friday. Mm-hmm. Saturday night, I got squirted in the face with a water gun, and I was pissed.
Who did you sit on?
I didn't sit on anybody. I can't get back up if I sat on somebody.
I'm here for the duration.
It's a real business. I don't know if you guys, like, I really feel my sister Nina Bonina Brown and all the Untucked episodes where she, like, can't sit down because her pads are so big and her corset is so tight. That's my life.
Speaking of Nina Bonina Brown, so...
she's back in town to shut it down.
Yes, queen. Yeah. She's got like 20 last names, and RuPaul changes them every week. Oh my God, my favorite,
I was going back and forth with someone on Facebook doing like her last names, and I was like, Nina Bonina Brown, Bader Ginsburg.
Oh,
and then last week's episode, Ru called her Nina Bonina Brown, Bader Ginsburg, and I was like, I said it first.
Yes.
He took it from you.
He did. So, he came from the future to bring it back to the past.
But it's Ru, you know, and then you can't really say Ru is mine. Then she'd be like, no, bitch, it was not yours. I loaned it to you. That's how she speaks.
Yeah.
Seriously. Oh, and DragCon is coming to New York, right?
To New York City. I was going to ask, you guys should go to DragCon.
Oh, my God. I should. In drag.
Super busy.
I'm super busy as well.
But, I mean, you guys are the ultimate gay podcast. You should have a booth.
My point, and like, you know, well, I would pound my face with some makeup and go and nanny drag.
I'll wear a pair of khaki shorts and a blue polo. If you went
in like a full on like house dress with like slippers, but your face was like done,
on
be
point,
awesome.
Right?
And we would love there. I have muumuus in every color. They're so great.
It's the most comfortable thing ever. So, but yeah, DragCon is coming to New York City. You know, RuPaul's Drag Race, I've been watching it. It's been hilarious. My favorite. I know that your favorite is...
Well, my favorite was James Mansfield, but she went home first.
She's gone, honey. She was gone first.
My favorite now is... I'm definitely rooting for Peppermint.
Well, Peppermint is fabulous. You know what I like about Peppermint? She's very emotionally available. She's very nurturing. She makes
for good TV.
Yeah, she does.
And she's one of those older, not older like to be shady, but she is literally, like, everyone's older than Pheromone, so.
Pretty much.
Who's not mean or bitter. She's like, let me help you.
Yeah, well, she's nice.
But then, you know? Like, I don't know. I feel like she's a great drag queen, but not all great drag queens are great at Drag Race. So
that's true.
She like has like she wears a bunch of the same skirts, and they're like, "Girl,
it's time to let the skirts go."
It's time to let the skirts go, and she's like, "I only have these skirts. I'm sorry."
No,
that's what happens to a lot of queens. Like,
yeah, well, they get stuck on one style, you know. Like,
and then the fans, like all the 12-year-olds from Wisconsin, are like, "Well, she's never gonna drag queen." I'm like, "Well, she is, but she just wasn't good at Drag Race. I'm sorry."
You know, the other cool thing, too, I'm Team Valentina. I'm sorry. Valentina, for me,
she's perfect. She's beautiful. She's Linda Evangelista. She's a model. Did she stone those tights? We never found out. She said she loves to stone.
That wedding dress, though, gagged. I gagged.
I don't like her. I thought she
was fabulous. When she came out and she had that wedding gown on and the hair was
set down. I think she looks great. But
I'm like, fabulous. But, you know, she's only been doing it for 7 months.
She's been, okay.
Right? She's been a drag queen for 7 months. And this bitch walked into Drag Race.
Doing drag. For 3 years on her Instagram, but she's been performing for 10 months. So
think about it. You come on RuPaul's Drag Race, 3 years into your drag, 10 months into your performance, and this bitch is throwing the shade and talking it. Like, she would look at it, you know, not for nothing, but I think I'm beautiful, and not for nothing, I think I worked my ass off, and she won one of the challenges.
She won.
She's just beautiful.
She won the cheerleading challenge, which I didn't think she should have won, and I thought that challenge was stupid to begin with. That's why, like, Eureka got kicked off, because she, like, popped her knee in the cheerleading challenge, and Charlie, like, gave...
I was kind of happy that she left, though.
You win Eureka, so sisters for life.
Papa, I mean, knees.
I'm kind of happy that she left that only because was really, she was mean. She was mean and she was nasty.
Well,
and she was like nasty. Always worry about, okay, I well, why does she have to win? I'm better than her.
I think that she, like,
she was bitter.
I don't know. I sympathize with her because it's frustrating to see, like, you're trying really hard as a plus size queen. And then, like, Valentina, who's perfect and beautiful, looks at Linda. She doesn't look like Linda Evangelista. Linda Evangelista is, like, Snow White in skin color.
But she had an issue with the other one. What's the other one's name?
She had beef with Valentina, Sasha, and somebody else. Sasha, I love Sasha Velour, too. She's so beautiful.
There was another one. something, Cynthia Lee Fontaine. And
well,
they were beef
with Cynthia Lee Fontaine. I don't even know her. And I'm like, why are you back?
I have no idea what they're talking about.
Is Karen Pence still on Drag Race, or did she get eliminated? Thank you, Tom. I hope these people know who that is.
Karen Pence is our second first lady.
Yes.
That
made no sense. That was an oxymoron.
I only know drag queens.
Yeah, no. No, but anyway,
I haven't seen a not drag queen in 3 days. No.
I really would invite that you guys watch RuPaul.
I support RuPaul, but it's not my thing. I'm super busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's my thing is not drag. I just find it hysterical because, you know, it's the commentary that goes back and forth. It's hysterical.
Well, also this season they've made a really good point, especially because now it's on VH1, so it reaches a bigger audience,
mm-hmm.
of bringing up all these issues. They talked about Pulse Orlando.
They did, and I cried like a bitch.
Because it was really, one of the contestants was there the week before it happened.
Cynthia Lee Fontaine was scheduled to perform that night. That Friday night.
And then she had to cancel.
Because she was in Texas.
Yeah, and the week after, they talked about the AIDS crisis, because mm-hmm. one of the queens, she was 52, mm-hmm. and while they filmed the show, so she was the oldest queen to be on the show ever. And she lived through the whole thing. And then they talked about eating disorders in the gay community, mm-hmm. and like, they...
See, now that's the type of stuff that I'm 100% behind.
But they so subconsciously talk about it. Well, they do a really great job of
telling them when to talk about these things. They talked about conversion therapy. Mm-hmm,
they did.
Yeah, we talked about.
But the older drag queen, she literally, like, when she was talking about surviving the whole AIDS crisis, when she gets to this one sentence and she's like, "I lost all of my friends."
Yeah, she said she buried all of her friends.
Every single one of them.
It was really emotional.
I would look at her face, and you can tell. I'm holding these tears in because, bitch, I just pounded this face in for like 2 hours.
Oh, we're about to go on stage. And one of them was like, "Do a smoky eye, girl."
Yeah, do a smoky eye. You're going to run your makeup with just do a smoky eye.
That's what I do all the time.
And it was very emotional. And, you know, so you do get something really fun out of it.
They do a great job of reminding... This is a great reality show. Like, I love a good reality competition show, but it also is like, we are the reality competition show. Thank you. For the gay community. So we're going to talk about things that are relevant to the gay community. Top Model used to do that all the time. We would talk about, like, women relevant things until Tyra was like, "This is just a show about me." So.
Yeah, she was like, "I'm done."
And then she left.
And now she wants to come back, speaking of that.
Oh, my God.
But, all right, so we still have some other stories that we need to cover.
We have real things to talk
about. I think
about.
We should move away from Drag Race so that our boys can, you know, chime in and talk about some stuff. So what do you got, boys?
Go ahead, Trish.
I mean, I just want to talk about my drag queen inner being, which would be a 1950s woman. I would be a pinup girl.
I love that. And I feel like you should run with Trish.
Uh-huh. I think you'd be more like a 20s naughty flapper girl, though.
I think we should call you Trish.
See you in a Nickelodeon. Like, that's where I would see you.
I think you would do really naughty things, like going to vote.
A Nickelodeon.
Yeah. I think your
going
name should be...
Going to vote and drinking where you're not supposed to.
Exactly. She'd be so wicked Prohibition era. Yeah.
I think that your name should be Trish Jean Jones.
One of the greatest drag names I've ever heard, and this is what I thought you said when you said Karen Pence, is Karen from Finance. It's a great drag name.
Wait, wasn't that from Dirty Rock, was it? Or
I don't know, but she's
the
an
Office.
Australian
no,
queen.
No, it's not from The Office.
No, not
Karen from Finance.
Karen from Finance.
That might be 30 Rock. That's no. not The Office.
Okay, well,
I know. There's also Robin from Human Resources from Massachusetts.
So, Trish, what will your last name be? Your drag last name?
I don't know. I've never really thought about it.
Something regal. Because, I mean, God, if your name is
I
Trish.
I feel like you would have, like, a real girl name. No. Like Giganta Smalls is not a real girl name, but, like, I feel like Trish.
Well, when I lost her in the store today, it became Trishalus. Trishalus! Oh, Trishalus!
It's Trishalicious.
As I'm like crawling down the aisles of Stop and Shop, Trishalus, we're not a couple! Trishalus!
Where are you?
Oh. So these bitches went out to the supermarket before coming here because they went to get some sausage and burgers and all that stuff.
They're not a couple, though.
And, we're not a couple.
Definitely and we threw not. Some stuff on the grill and... Oh, that's right. I ate two burgers.
We covered that. Cheeseburgers.
Yeah. Oh, and now he's throwing the cheese on it.
Were you in paradise? Huh? Were you in paradise?
I was.
That was a Jimmy Buffett reference.
I sat right there on that sofa and
cheese
ate them like
burger in paradise. Amazingly.
Listen, that was a jam for a young Giganta Smalls. I don't even like cheeseburgers. I was like, the song's the best.
Right?
Yeah. Trish, don't we got someone to slam?
Like, well, yeah, I've got like... I could slam people for days on days on days.
Of course, but what about our cocktail?
Fine.
All right, let's yeah, because you know we are doing the Alabama Slammer.
Yeah. So obviously Alabama does a lot of bullshit all the time.
That's why our phone number's from there.
Mm-hmm.
Which by the way, it's 334-429-8255 if you want to call us.
Call in.
Call us.
334-GAY-TALK. 334-GAY-TALK.
Toll free.
Results
may vary.
Alabama legislators have approved a bill that would protect the state licenses of adoption agencies that follow faith-based policies, such as refusing to place children with same-sex couples.
I can't. I just can't.
It's like, here's my biggest thing. You got all of these kids that are in foster care or in the system, however you want to put it, and you're not going to fucking place them with a loving family, whether they're gay or they're not. And why, again, are we using a faith-based system when this is, if it's a government organization, it should right. not be faith-based in any way. However, if there are faith-based adoption agencies like churches or like, where do nuns come from? Help me here.
Convents.
But schools like that.
I'm sorry, they should like not that, have children in those convents.
Well, they should have to abide by like the state regulations when it comes to adoption.
Exactly. Agreed.
I
but also the sad thing, like you said, like how can we be not denying children to be put into loving homes, whether it be heterosexual, like a mother and a father or two mothers, two fathers. But there are these children who are being sent into one home, stripped from that home, sent to another and constantly being moved right. and they can't have a settled life right. when there are these two people that are willing to love this child.
And willing, they just want to have a family.
Well, adoption is really hard. Period.
Yes.
Like, it's regardless of your relationship or whatever. And it's also super hard to adopt if you're not married. Like, if you're a single person.
They'll actually give you a child in Florida if you're single before they would give you one if you were in a gay committed relationship.
Yeah. But there are...
That sucks.
There are people that have a farm of foster kids for government benefits. And and that's fine. But a gay couple that wants to build a family? Are you fucking kidding
me? Well, it's not fine that there are people who have, set a farm for foster children for federal...
Right, but they're not like doing funds. Anything about that. They're not... I mean, yeah, maybe case by case. But overall, what they're trying to do is set sanctions on gay people instead of, why don't we just fix the problem to begin with? People just want to have a family and build a life together.
She woke up.
So, Alabama... Fuck you, hashtag Alabama Slammer.
Yes.
Because you guys, again, are fucking it up for everyone else. There
time
are nearly 5,000 kids
that live
your
in Alabama.
Legislation are neglecting happy, healthy homes because of this bill that you're trying
and
to pass.
And those are the people that need to be held responsible. And that's why it's our job to call these people out and shame them for what they're doing, for depriving these children of a happy, loving, healthy life.
Mm-hmm. So thanks for the phone number, but other than that, you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. And I just want to throw it out there. We're talking about the government,
not
the state
right.
of Alabama, not our listeners, and not the people. Well, maybe some. but not, you know, in general, we're talking about the government and the laws that they're passing and the issues that arise as a result of their ignorance and what they're doing to our community.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. So, yeah, fuck you.
Of course.
So, and just wanted to throw that out there, but go ahead, Trish.
Another thing to slam Alabama for.
Let's do it.
Bring it on.
Here we go. Uh-oh. So an Alabama judge agrees to allow some segregation in Birmingham schools.
We're back to that again? Wasn't Birmingham the first school that allowed the young little black girl to walk in and they had to...
That girl, that woman is still alive.
She's what was her name? I can't.
Ruby.
Yes, Ruby.
I know her name is, first name is Ruby. Ruby, I want to say it's Jackson, but I feel like it's not Jackson. But she's still alive. She's like not even, she's like 50 years old.
She literally had to be walked into school with what? The
National Guard.
The National Guard.
National Guard.
Yeah.
The military was sent in.
Now that is sad. That is sad that in today's day and age, after going through the civil rights movement and have to, that little girl having to endure what she did and after losing three beautiful young ladies in a church that was blown up, that we still have to deal with the shit that this state wants to pump out.
But it's not just the state. This is the issue. This is Trump's America. This is people. This is people feeling like they have finally a platform to feel the way that they've been feeling their entire lives. Their entire life. I mean, let's be honest here. Racism. I mean, we talk about it all the time. Racism and hate crimes have just shot through the fucking roof, and it's because Trump is allowing this to continually happen by his rhetoric.
And
by the way he speaks about people, by the way he speaks to people.
And the most disgusting thing is the thought process of these people, their foundation is the president of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when he got elected, I mean, right afterwards, I'm sure we talked about this. Mm-hmm.
This
how many
Trump.
People committed hate crimes? Oh, well, welcome to fucking Trump's America.
Yeah, and look at the slew of the bomb threats and threats to all these Jewish communities and temples. Like, it's just exponentially rising.
Middle America, wake the fuck up, because guess what? What is he doing? Nothing for you. Is the wall built? No. And that's really all you wanted from him. What's he doing? He is giving tax cuts to corporations. He is getting rich, and you're getting poorer.
I can't believe that he won an election to run a country based on a wall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, well, and the slogan, Make America Great Again.
And repealing a lot of Obamacare.
Yeah, it was... The election was a disaster.
Everyone was on... Like, do people not know that Obamacare and the Affordable Care
and
Act
deporting,
were the same thing?
Yeah. Yes. And deporting 11 million
that
people.
That lady, that Hispanic woman who was like the pro-Trump, she got deported.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was another pro-Trump supporter whose husband got deported. And she's sitting over here crying on CBS and NBC and all of those acronyms because her husband got deported after she supported Trump. I'm like, well, bitch, what did you expect? Mm-hmm. He said he was going to do that from the get-go.
And here's another fucking thing. I am sick and tired of people taking shit back. You voted for him. Now you have to stand up and tell us why you voted for him. Don't say, oh, I don't support him anymore. That's fine. Whatever. You want to pull your support? I'm okay with that. Caitlyn Jenner, go fuck yourself.
No, I disagree.
She's so brave.
No, she's not. She's a fucking mess.
She's
not
an idiot.
Sense the sarcasm from here to Saul. Like, that was, yeah. No.
What a moron.
There's nothing wrong with those who voted for Donald Trump and have learned that he does not care for the greater good of the American people. I commend them for the ones that stand up there and say, you know what? I wasn't wrong because this is how I felt would be best for our nation, but I was proven wrong
by
the very man I voted for.
Because they hated women, and that's why they didn't vote for Trump.
It's so much more than that. It's so much more than that.
Because
there were so many things that went wrong with this election.
Yeah. But like... It's more acceptable for you to be a total asshole, racist, bigoted, narcissist than it is for you to be a woman. Because
if Hillary or Bernie did that 2 months into an election season primary, they would have crucified them and they would have been out of that election. This was clearly, first of all, interference from Russia in our elections, all that negative propaganda that caused this issue with emails.
That's the only thing
emails.
They brought up.
But. And he also was, he hasn't used a secured server at all. He still has his own personal Twitter account active.
Like, pretty much. Conflicts of interest left and right. But you know what baffles me even more? where the fuck is Kellyanne Conway? That bitch disappeared.
Can Sean Spicer disappear too? Can somebody Lord fucking take
I don't want Sean Spicer to go away.
I can deal with Spicer.
I want Melissa McCarthy to keep playing Sean Spicer.
Yes, yes.
Oh, what was great was that Christine Baranski wanted to come and play Betsy DeVos.
Oh my God.
I love Betsy DeVos.
I hope it doesn't turn into this
whole... make fun of Betsy DeVos.
She's so there was an actress who played Yolanda Saldivar. And if you don't know who that is, she is the woman that killed Selena. The actress looked so much like her that they hated her for playing the character. The actress herself walking down the street would get harassed and people would throw things at her. They hated her because they associated her with
that
character.
She's a great actress.
So whoever's playing Betsy DeVos better watch it. Because you might end up getting all that hate mail without wanting to.
I mean, that happens all the time. People are so stupid. People hated Lena Headey for playing Cersei on Game of Thrones. And I'm like, she's great. I don't know.
She was fabulous. Are you kidding me? She blew everything up. I love it. Oh my God, I hope I didn't ruin it for Game of Thrones.
Spoiler.
Sorry if you haven't watched it. Too bad.
Spoiler alert. Too late.
That shit came out like 6 months ago. Get with the program. We're waiting for July. What, 2 months? For the season premiere of this season 7? I can't wait. So anyway, so we were talking about Kellyanne Conway. Where the fuck is this bitch?
Didn't she get removed from her position because she kept like being awful and like
the entire cabinet's awful. So
not only is she awful, she's also a moron.
Yeah. Well, she was plugging. So is Trump. She was plugging Ivanka Trump's clothing line on national television while
who
she was
being also awful. Like.
Who has an unofficial official position at the White House somewhere in the East Wing or West Wing.
She was in Germany recently. She did a panel in Germany about women leaders.
No, that was...
They booed her.
That was Ivanka Trump.
Oh.
That was Ivanka. Ivanka was there defending her father, the president of the United States.
I wonder where Ivana is. Like, I know that they're not married.
Honey, she took everything.
Years.
She's probably chilling like, fuck that bitch.
You know, Ivanka
she could have the White House. I still got all these millions I took away from my husband.
Ivanka was in Berlin, Germany, and she was defending her father for, like, supporting women rights and being by the side and, like, respecting women. And she was getting heckled by the crowd. Trust me, I was in Germany the time leading up to Donald Trump's inauguration and after his inauguration. If there's anyone who hates Donald Trump more than half of this country, it's the Germans. They hate Donald Trump.
Well, don't feel bad, Germany.
And keep speaking out. That's what we want to ask
for our listeners
around the world.
All the memes of like Angela Merkel like having to sit next to Ivanka Trump.
She had to sit next to Donald Trump.
Yeah, but like, okay, so everyone's going to compare them because they're women.
Well, no,
even
Donald Trump is understandable.
The same
he's a president.
Woman
you have to sit
all.
Next to him.
Yeah, I would expect her, Angela Merkel, to have to sit next to Donald Trump because they're world leaders. Mm-hmm. But having to sit next to Ivanka Trump, who's just there because she's Donald's hot daughter, like,
I agree.
How awful.
Well, there was that one meme where she's looking at her like, what the fuck are you even doing here? Really, what do you do? Well,
but thank God
besides
we have
around
the
and
brave, brave people.
No, don't say that.
Like Caitlyn
Ivanka's
Jenner.
Ivanka's not a bad person.
Who are willing to give up their support for Trump because people need to use the bathroom. She's so brave.
Oh my God.
Bless her heart.
She's such an asshole.
Isn't that Southern for go fuck yourself?
Pretty much.
Yeah, but she wants to go on a shopping trip with Candace Kane. Even though their friendship did not work out very
Candace
well.
Kane. I love her.
Silence.
I think.
Bless.
Yeah. I think. No, seriously. So, we have some a gay term that you need to talk about.
What did Chris even talk about what he wanted to talk about?
Chris,
you want to just jump into the gay terms?
Chris, what did you want to talk about, darling?
Well, especially because today is May 1st. You know, we're recording on Monday here. It's May 1st and across the world, some people are celebrating or... what's the word? Observing today being May Day, which was, you know, the communist holiday for the Workers' Party. So in Russia, you know, many people that were bringing to the streets to celebrate and protest and demonstrate May Day being we're the ones who build the economy. We are the middle class. We are the people who build our nations. It is noted that Russian police have detained LGBT activists attempting to raise awareness about the persecution of gay men in Chechnya. And this is something we've discussed so many times. Like, there's a Chechnya is a Russian state. It's a part of the Russian Federation. And these people who are finally trying to speak out to save these people that are being persecuted tortured, murdered, honored, killed, like honor killed. They're now being detained. I believe it was up to 10 demonstrators were laying down on the streets near the Anichkov Bridge. And they were laying down in the streets covered with rainbow flags and the flag of Chechnya covered in fake blood, pretending to be dead, to spread awareness for what these people are being allowed to be put through in the Chechen state of Russia. And it goes to show that, you know, the government that we knew never supported human rights, never supported human beings, is still not doing that. And they are stepping aside or stepping with their Chechen constituents and trying to silence this, where, and alongside of our government, yes, Nikki Haley stood up and she condemned what's going on in Chechnya, but the president of the United States, the vice president of the United States, the entire administration is too stupid. They're not stepping up and condemning these horrific attacks.
They're not stupid. They're assholes.
That too.
Yeah, they're assholes. And these people are finally reaching to the help of the government. The one thing about the government is they are put there to serve and protect us. That's what they are here for. And these men and women, gay or straight, are being now detained. Again, of course, this is what we would expect from the Russian government. What we'd expect.
I mean, also, Katie Couric, I don't know if you saw this, but Katie Couric had an interview with a Russian foreign ministry spokesperson, Maria, I'm going to say it wrong, Zakharova, and she pointedly asked her about these attacks in Syria and the rounding up. And she,
in Chechnya or in Syria?
Chechnya, thank you. And she literally just basically avoided the entire thing, said, well, I don't have that information. There's an investigation underway. And Katie's like, what investigation? It's fucking Russia. Yeah. Like, if there's an investigation, what are they going to do? Like, who's investigating? I need to know who's investigating this. And the woman was just like, well, I mean, I can come back with more information about this later, but I don't have the information for you now.
No, bitch, you're not going to get another TV interview. What was her name? Maria Zakharova?
Maria Zakharova. Yeah, I don't know.
Zakharova.
She's probably going to be dead. But...
Well,
she was pretty silent about the whole thing, so I think she'll be okay.
What do you expect? You know, you're coming from a government that the leader of this government was a KGB agent. Like, what do you expect? This is all going to be silent. The people who speak their minds are going to be gunned down in the streets, blocked by fucking moving trucks. The next second that truck moves aside, there's a dead man on the side of the road. Yeah, these people are silent. I'm surprised that I don't have a sniper pointing at my head right now as we're talking about this. These people will silence all of those who speak out against them. That's the regime that Vladimir Putin runs.
In lighter news,
let's talk about Ellen.
Yeah, I love Ellen.
Ellen always just has a way of just waking us up and giving us a wonderful, like,
even
good
though Oprah
feeling,
was on her show this past week, so
that's okay. Do we need to revisit Oprah, or are we done with
Oprah?
I'm still angry at Oprah right now.
Okay,
Oprah. Is it because she left TV?
No,
that's why I'm mad at her.
It's because her goddamn network accepting somebody on the network that shouldn't be on the network.
Oh my god,
a pastor, an anti-gay pastor,
incredibly anti-gay.
Incredibly
Does Gail know?
I have a phone call into Oprah. She's really busy, obviously, but she is going to call me back. So
make America Gail again.
so Ellen.
Let's talk about Ellen.
Ellen had her 20-year anniversary of coming out, and she celebrated this on her show on TV this past week, and it was so beautiful. Laura Dern was there, Oprah was there, Michelle Obama called in to congratulate her.
It was really emotional,
and a lot of the people that were in the audience did like this homage to Ellen and what it meant when she came out those 20 years ago.
I cried when I saw that video.
Because like 20 years ago, her coming out on national TV, unheard of.
I remember it. I watched it.
Yeah, there was this one woman that said that she had a party a viewing party with all of her friends, and like
they were just like, "Come on, just say it already, say it already, say it already," throughout the whole episode.
But how powerful were those words 20 years ago when we were so repressed still and so in the closet as a community? And you see, she literally is one of She's the one that struck the fire for a lot of this in the public view. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Matthew Shepard and that movement, but she literally brought it to the forefront of people's view.
Well, here's what happens with that. It's like you take someone that was so loved. Ellen was loved by everyone. Ellen was known to be the...
Her hair is so much better now, though.
Yes. Oh, that mullet.
Everyone's that mullet. Hair is better now.
Comes out.
No, you know, it's when you think about Ellen back then and what she was doing in her show was amazing. She was taking comedy and you know, her sense of being, who she was right. playing herself. You know, she was playing Ellen. And it was great. You know, if you ever watched Ellen do some stand-up comedy, she's amazing. There's a routine that she does.
It's her ability to be... Because even, like... I think even people who are not necessarily pro-gay love Ellen.
So, yes.
Because right. it's her ability to be so likable.
And
that
relatable
makes
to
her,
everyone.
Like, a good voice for the community.
And she does so much, and she involves herself in so many different things. So for her to come out on TV and literally have an episode, they call it the puppy episode, I believe is what it was called. And she literally comes out and she goes, I am gay. And that was like boom. It was like a sonic boom that went through from one area, from yeah. one side of America to the other. And it even landed in middle America. And it really stopped everyone and said, look, this woman came out. She said, I am gay on national television on a very well-publicized show, and America took notice.
Mm-hmm. You know who did not take notice was Alabama.
Well.
They refused to air that episode.
Yeah, I believe that.
So,
is that true?
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah. What?
Wasn't Alabama the same state that where the drive-in theaters were refusing to show Beauty and the Beast?
Okay.
I think it was an Alabama drive-in theater.
Emma Watson loving a goat man was okay, but not not Josh Gad's like passing glance.
Bestiality is one thing. It's in the Alabama's constitution. Like you can sleep with an animal,
I went to go see Beauty and the Beast with my mother, who like... It was like, I mean, I live there, so as long as she hates gay people, but like,
it was a beautiful movie.
It was a gorgeous movie.
I watched the bootleg.
The passing gayness.
Just kidding. We pay for all the movies. We
not like anything that wasn't in the Disney movie. So right. I was like,
it was literally. It wasn't even. It wasn't.
I was like, I want hardcore Gaston on LeFou action.
No,
I
mean, it was like so innocent.
And like honestly, as like a chubby gay person, it was really nice for me to see that like LeFou
there were
was
more
like,
innuendos yeah. in Shrek 1, 2, and 3 than there were
Shrek
in that
was made to be an innuendo.
Yeah, there was more innuendos in Shrek than there were in that entire movie of Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. It was literally
I mean, you I have heard, Audra McDonald as a wardrobe, but that's not gay enough.
Mm. You know, I think Ellen should run for president.
I think she should, and I think she would win.
Oh, listen, I think that we shouldn't have any more celebrities running for president.
That'd probably be best.
No, but
because as much as I love Ellen, I don't think dancing horribly in your Converse is going to get us anywhere in the world.
Unless by...
Excuse me?
Oh,
no, she better don't.
Wrong one. You're
my bigger question is, why hasn't Ellen been on Dancing with the Stars?
Because she's busy, bitch.
She's got two less
Dancing
friends.
With the Stars is generally has-beens. Ellen is never going to be
she's
a has-been.
She's not on the right network.
Well, and I will say, according to our president, if the next celebrity, if you will, is going to be running for president, it's going to be Pocahontas herself. So wait for 2020.
She's so ready.
I hope so.
Would run on a hardcore environmental platform. I'd be into it. I'd vote for Pocahontas.
Yeah.
I'd vote for Pocahontas.
As a child.
Yeah. I'd
vote for Pocahontas,
but
she's not going to do it.
Listen, I know. She's probably not.
I can't
be one
speak
tough
for.
Woman
I can't speak anything other than the Disney movie, but I also don't think a 12-year-old should run for president.
Well, that's what we have right now. Literally, a baby. A little nagging, whining, hashtag
I
not my president.
I still
baby.
Want Melania to take him out. I want her to like secretly be. I want her to like Black Widow him.
I want her to be a secret KGB agent. She is Russian after all, isn't she?
No, I think she's from Ukraine or Albania.
Same difference.
Okay.
Seriously, I mean, weren't they part of Russia at some point in time?
I don't think you're allowed to have any listeners from Russia, so I think you're.
Oh, we do. We do have. We have listeners.
Are they pirated in?
Yeah, exactly.
We do.
There's an underground gay talk fan club.
We've said this on many episodes before. We don't hate Russians. We hate the government.
I love Russia.
And we love our Russian listeners, and we appreciate the fact that they take the time to listen to our show.
Yeah.
And this may be the only sense of, you know what?
Yeah.
Normacy that they can actually listen to and relate to and listen to us talk and bitch and drink and because they're oppressed and they can't do that
shit.
And
like we said
in
like past episodes, you know, if you are in the Russian Federation, especially if you're trying to flee the Chechen state, there are people out there that are willing to help you. Mm-hmm. Like I said, if you can get yourself on to www.seta.fi, that will bring you to a gay rights site from the nation of Finland, and you can get all the information that you need to try to gain clemency or try mm-hmm. to get like asylum. And remember, you can only seek asylum when you're actually in the nation. So what you can do is find your way to get there and then learn what to do after that. So again, look at that www.seta.fi. You can get out.
There's an organization out there that is working with the Rainbow Railroad, Inc. It's
what is that?
The fundraiser for American Friends of Railroad, Rainbow Railroad.
I was just hoping that there was a gay Harriet Tubman somewhere to get the Chechnya people out. So, and there's a Rainbow Railroad.
So basically
I
what
hope
it
Ellen's
is,
the conductor.
She probably is.
The Rainbow Railroad is desperately struggling to liberate gay and bisexual men from what can only be described as a modern-day concentration camp and provide them with asylum in Canada. Currently, they have raised $122,000. It takes about $7,000 to get one person out safely from these oppressed areas of Chechnya and Russia, get them to safety and give them asylum. So, right. So you know, if you find an organization that's doing that, help, because you could help save a life of a brother or a sister that really needs it. You know, there should be no reason why in 2017 we are still debating about whether or not the life of a gay man is worth living. We should not be doing that at this point in time, in this decade.
Exactly. And, you know, if anyone has...
It's not just about gay people. It's about everybody's humans. Life is worth
it's
living.
It's human rights.
I always say if it starts with one person, it's going to lead to another person mm-hmm. and then to another group of people. So, like, we should all just be nicer to each other.
Right, that's exactly. True. And if you're, you know...
As Ellen says, be kind to one another. Bye.
Love you, Ellen.
That's it. And if, you know, we have listeners from all over the globe. So if you know an organization or any group that's raising money or willing to help our LGBT brothers and, you know, sisters in other parts of the globe, especially in Chechnya, you can always send us an email at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Give us any of the information that you can to try to help just one person, and we'll put that out there.
Absolutely. And that railroad company, the Rainbow Railroad, Inc. that I was talking about is a nonprofit out of New Jersey. And if you want to learn a little bit more about them, you can go to guidestar.org. That's GUIDESTAR.org. If you can, donate. It's
amazing. Do you think there's like fun, like traveling songs on the Rainbow Railroad?
I hope so. You know, like, I hope they're playing something from like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, yeah. Or
they're just like, you know, something
exactly.
Makes the people
come together,
and that like secretly yeah. tells you to come to the meeting point.
And you know, and you never know, Madonna might even show up and be like, "Come on, baby boy, oh my let God. Me give you a hand."
She's like, "Come on, but baby boy, let me help you." This like, is my
hey,
daughter,
Lourdes. DJ, put a record on.
That was terrible. I apologize to the entire Isle of Britain.
Oh my God.
I apologize to the state of New Jersey.
I was going to say there's no cursive tonight, but that got messy real quick. So,
fine. All right. Well, listen, we should start wrapping up the show, but you still have your gay term that you need to talk about. So
I do, but I also want to say one more thing.
Okay. Well, this as is a sad story.
I mean, it's sort of sad, okay, but well, like, sad. It's not really that. Well, it is pretty
it's
sad.
It's really sad.
Go for it.
Well, as we all know, I'm obsessed with gay penguins.
Duh.
Who isn't really? Not Chechnya.
And we recently found out that there are lesbian penguins.
Mm-hmm. And they don't steal eggs.
They get everything done, probably.
As far as we know. But they're looking into it.
But they can lay their own. This past week, we lost a polar bear.
Yes.
A polar bear died of a broken heart after a same-sex companion of 20 years was relocated from SeaWorld.
I know. It's such a sad story.
That's so sad.
So this I mean, bitch. They say...
Are you really crying or are you just...
I got really emotional. Sorry.
But, okay, so it's a lesbian polar bear.
Oh.
So I'm going to say this.
Of course.
Where are the gay polar bears? The exactly. male gay polar bears.
I know a few
where
gay polar they? Bears.
But, so, all the polar bear zookeepers out there, hit us up and let us know if you got a gay one.
But...
A male gay.
This is what I keep saying, visibility. I mean, we got visibility in the fucking animal kingdom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Keep it up. But
you should see my dogs. We definitely got visibility in the animal kingdom. I'm like, Oliver, stop trying to hump your own brother. It's yeah, like,
well,
what the hell?
They got nothing else going for them. So, I mean, like, they don't have any little girl dogs.
Well, they can try to hump Chris.
Fuck out of here.
I mean, he is on his knees lately.
One knee.
Not anymore. Yeah.
One knee. I took a knee. That's, yeah.
So, no, but it was, I did read the story and I thought that it was very sad. And
so
I said to myself, oh.
It was really sad.
And
sad.
I hope that lesbian polar bear like listened to a lot of like Melissa Etheridge songs. And, like.
Well, so this.
Speaking of Melissa, she's here tomorrow.
This polar bear died at a younger age. So polar bears can live up to something like 30 years in captivity. Mm-hmm. And this, I think this polar bear died at like 22, which is abnormal.
Yeah.
And it was explained in the story that, you know, he stopped eating. It clearly was like depressed. Stopped eating. And,
animals can get very depressed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it, because.
Well,
he lost
when
his
you
partner.
Look when yeah. you look at this picture and you see it it's just so laying sad. There, like, where is she?
No, you're looking at a dead bear.
No, I don't. Think
I don't
that's
think that they would have shown the dead bear. I'm just thinking.
I hope
that's,
not because
that's just it laying
sad.
Down
Sorry.
Like, you know, like.
Broken heart.
Broken hearted.
True.
Broken
heart.
And it shows, just like, look at elephants. You know, elephants are a species that they mourn their losses. When
elephants have funerals.
They do. They and do. They will parade. So they'll parade around the dead elephant. And even after years have passed, when the elephant that has passed away is no longer there, they will still parade around that very spot at the memoriam.
They take the bones. And they'll, like, touch them to their forehead and then put them back.
It's so beautiful.
It's so sad.
It goes to show that, you know, we're not the only compassionate yet incredibly uncompassionate species out there.
Oh, no. I mean, animals definitely have the capability of understanding emotion better than most humans can, including
my
that.
My dog is going... We just have to put down one of my dogs.
Oh,
and my God. Other dog, she's going through a lot of depression. We had a little funeral for the other dog. She was there. And she like kissed the little gravestone.
Oh my God. Aww. I can't anymore. Please.
Okay. I think we need to wrap up the show because I have my two babies and I'm going to start crying and this is just not cute.
So.
But you had something to teach us.
So this week's gender identity term is Tom's favorite term.
Masturbator.
No, it's cisgender.
No, it's. Okay. Mew. It's masturbator.
Okay, so it's cisgender.
Yeah. It's cisgender.
I was going to text to be like, change it back.
So Tom earlier was talking about how much he hates this word.
You've got 2 seconds.
I will take as much time as I need. I'll just fucking take your mic, bitch. Stop muting me.
2 seconds.
So cisgender is a term used to describe someone who you literally changed the entire definition on me.
I did.
Okay, so cisgender is a term used to describe someone whose gender identity aligns with their with the sex assigned to them at birth. That's what cisgender means. And it is a prevalent word, and it's being used and thrown around a lot. So
I
it's important that
time.
We say it.
Cisgender. My phone acknowledges
cisgender.
That it's a real word now.
No, I know that it's a real word, and I know it exists. I just don't like the fact that we're throwing it like a fucking label on everything. Oh, look, a cisgender gay man. Oh, look, a cisgender straight man. Oh, look, a cisgender woman. They're women. They're men. They're gay men. Do we need to keep adding labels? It's a medical term.
Well, that's kind of what we're doing. It's also the gay identity terms.
There are
trans men
that are gay, and there are trans women who are gay.
But here's what I'm saying, right? So let's get rid of transgender.
Very good point.
You identify as a woman, then you're going to be a woman. If you identify as a man, then you're going to be a man. And get rid of all these labels. Here we are. The gay community is so, oh my God, you know, I can't take all these labels. We got bears, we've got leather daddies, we've got transgender, cisgender, you know. Why label ourselves? Oh, this one's a fudge packer, that one, you know.
I think really it's just a way to be very clear about
If someone walks up to me and says to me,
"You're, hey, cisgender man or boy, come here," I would lose my shit.
Well, right, yeah,
because
just
don't,
like, no
don't
should,
add
no,
me another label.
No, but it's the same way as well, no one should walk up to me like, "Hey, gay boy, come here." It's the same exact thing.
Yeah, I mean, like people, I don't say I'm a cisgender gay male. But, I mean, if you look at the definition, I am a cisgender gay
came
male.
Up
you
to
are,
me,
but do you need
well,
to be walking
all,
around identifying your labeling
come
yourself
up to
a
me
cisgender gay male?
Where I work at Michael's at the Grounds in Avon, Connecticut. Come and visit me, and they're like, "Hey, lady," and I'm not a lady by any means. I'm like, what? Or I'm like,
hello.
Yeah. So like, you just don't, like, you don't shout those things. But if I say on the internet or wherever, or if I have it labeled somewhere that I am a cisgender, like I'm a cisgendered man who performs as a woman,
right,
creature. So like, I don't know. I don't personally think there's anything wrong with it, but you can call yourself whatever you want to.
No, it's just, listen, using it medically for what it's intended, to identify who you are in the spectrum of human, is acceptable. But when you use it as a label to start labeling everyone a community, it just sucks. We don't need it.
I don't really understand.
It's not necessary.
Because to me, it's meant to be a label, like, to begin with, you know, like, I don't know. I'm not saying that you can't not like it, but I'm just saying that I think it's like it's a word. I don't know.
It's a word. Words that identifies a specific human in a spectrum.
Tommy, how do you identify?
I am a man. That's it.
Oh, really?
That's it.
Really?
That's it.
Okay.
I'm human. She really came that way?
Oh, no, she didn't. So here's the thing.
I'm a man. You know, I'm like, human. I may be flamboyant sometimes. I may take it up the ass and only suck some dick.
Are you a dancer?
You're a gay male.
I'm a man.
You are a gay male. Anyway, so you're a cisgender gay male.
I'm a man. Anyway, enough. Moving on. Let's close the show. So, announcements.
No, we're not there yet.
Then move on from cisgender because we're not discussing it anymore.
I just find it so funny that you're getting so upset because we've been talking about gender identity terms the past couple of weeks, and it's just this one term that's lit you up.
So you know how you always have that one thing that just triggers you?
Yeah, totally.
But then you should embrace it, Tommy, because you got it out of the way now. You got that term out of the way. There's only about time. Another 327 to go.
We won't discuss it ever again.
But anyway. So
done.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Cisgender was our term for the week. We're moving on because Tommy can't handle it. So our gay talk term of the week is hold court. Hold court.
What's hold court?
To host, entertain socially, or to reign, which is what I feel like we do every week. But also, it is to occupy the best cruising stall in a men's room.
Trish, I told you to stop doing that.
We've come so far as a gay community.
Love it.
Right?
So holding court, you're either doing it in the men's room or you're doing it at Gay Talk 2.0. Hold court to your gay talk term of the week.
No matter where she does it, either she's on her knees or standing up in a stall or in a toilet, she's still going to be a cisgender man doing it, right?
I will be a cisgender gay male, yes.
Okay, well, cisgender man.
Gay male. If I'm going to identify as cisgender, I'm also going to identify as gay.
Man. All right, announcements. So, if you love the show, you can head on over to iTunes, rate us, leave us a review. This allows for our podcast to become more visible within the Apple and iTunes ecosystem. You can also become a Patreon. By doing so, you, the listener, can help support the show.
The cisgendered ecosystem.
By pledging a monthly donation with as little as a dollar, you can help us greatly. Christopher?
The Hartford Gavins Chorus will be hosting their spring concert yearbook, A Walk Down Memory Lane. This event will take place May 19th through the 21st. For tickets, visit tickets.hgmc.org.
You got it.
Jawohl.
Announces.
Next week, we welcome Davis Mallory. Love. Davis was part of MTV's The Real World and also The Challenge. He has an extensive background in music and is a trained DJ, pro DJ, sorry. Recently, he has focused on his songwriting, which has led to the album and song we have featured today.
Yes. And the name of the song is, it's coming.
It's a long title.
Yeah, it's Loud. There it is. Loud. Loud.
Loud.
Loud.
Which we featured today. We'll have more on him, his new song, and his music next week. Make sure you tune in.
Make sure. You can go to, digitalstreamradio.com, 6:30 p.m. every Monday. Anyway, so thank you to our special guest, Giganta Smalls.
Thank you so much.
For your fabulous and hilarious commentary and for joining us on today's episode.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's always fun. And can you tell our listeners how to find you if they would like to continue to experience the Smalls?
If you want to make America giant again.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. Imperialism was really bad. Yes. You can follow me on Instagram at Giganta Smalls, Tumblr, gigantasmalls.tumblr.com, and I'm on Facebook as Giganta Smalls.
Fabulous. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said before, it's like we had you on the show during the presentation of the Rocky Horror Show, and we were like, we have to have this woman back on the show. She was great. So thank you for joining us, Christopher.
All righty. And as always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Mick announces.
Yes, please.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
All right. You can also leave us a, or excuse me, contact us by visiting our website where you can leave us a comment and or a suggestion. You can submit a question for the cast and or an individual host. And you can leave us a question via voice message for the cast to answer on the show by calling 334-GAY-TALK. And those numbers are 334-429-8255.
Basically. Fuck Alabama.
Don't forget that we are now streaming this show live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.